are welcome Tamav Thielepty here in our church. I will not introduce her because she will introduce herself to you, and she's going to say about many things about the stories and about how she started her life. And we're going to see, we're going to listen, we're going to learn, but please listen carefully. Your mobile is off. Turn off your mobile, 100%. Okay, turn off your mobile. Okay, please turn off your mobile again. So we're going to listen. Please, Tamav, she has only two hour and a half or maybe hour 45 minutes with us. And after that, she had a flight and she's going to go to Toronto. So that's why we need to listen to her. And if you have questions and you have anything, she go after we finish. It's going to open discussion with Tamav. Tamav, you're welcome in our church here in Ottawa, St. Mary, Ottawa. And we are very blessed that you are with us, among us. Here is your home. So we're going to, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.
Thank you, Abuna Marcos. When I heard his name is Abuna Marcos, you know what it reminds me of? I have two priests who baptized me. I'm baptized in the St. Mark's Church in Toronto with Abuna Marcos Marcos. You know the first priest that Baba Kirillos ordained to serve outside of Egypt in the days of Baba Kirillos VI. His name was Father Marcos Marcos. He opened the first church outside of Egypt, is the St. Mark's Church in Toronto, and his name is Father Marcos. So when I heard Father Marcos is inviting me, Virgin Mary's Church, I said, oh my God, Abuna is praying for me.
Okay, the year of the ordination anniversary, 50 ordination of Abuna Marcos Moros, it was the same day of my ordination of my priesthood. Okay, and one of the main reason of I took the name, this is my grandpa, who's a priest named Marcos, and another thing which is Father Marcos too.
Thank you, Abuna. And it's a blessing because when I heard his name, Father Marcos, and you know what? My bishop, I'm from St. Damianus Monastery in Egypt. My bishop, his name is Amba Marcos. So when I heard, okay, it's from God. And yesterday, I came to Ottawa Thursday, Friday. I was staying at St. Joseph Church. You know, St. Joseph with Abuna Mikhail. St. Joseph the carpenter is the husband of Virgin Mary, and now I come to Virgin Mary's church, I feel like, yeah, because the husband and wives, so now I get to visit St. Mary's church. I thank God for the opportunity to be Coptic Orthodox, and I come to Ottawa. I flew from Chicago. I was actually in Chicago. I flew from Thursday morning here to Ottawa. I'm leaving after this talk at 1:30. I'm going back to Toronto, and next Wednesday, I'm going back to Egypt. So I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to come to speak with all of you. And why do I come? Look at me. Do I look Egyptian to you? Oh, good. You people are still saying, yes, I'm not Egyptian. But you know what? Maybe we have one thing in common. We all love God. Besides that, I think, why God put me in this Coptic Orthodox Church? I was a strong Buddhist. As you see how strong I am in Christianity, I was like this as a Buddhist. I despise Christians because you know what? I grew up in Toronto. You're here in Ottawa. You know Toronto is like 4-hour drive, okay? I grew up in Toronto since the age of 4. I'm Chinese from Hong Kong, born in Hong Kong. And my parents are very Chinese from China. They met each other in Hong Kong, got married, had 8 kids. I'm the 7th of 8 kids. And when I was 4 years old, my family, we immigrated from Hong Kong to Toronto, just like maybe some of your families immigrated from, you know, Egypt and came to Ottawa. We went to Toronto. And I was a strong Buddhist. When I was 9 years old, I thought of maybe, you know, when I grow up, become a Buddhist nun, because I learned how to pray unceasingly to my Buddhas since the age of 4. By that time, I was 9 years old. I was so the Buddhas. I thought maybe when I grow up, I give my life to my Buddhas. I become a nun. When I was 16 years old, I was serious. Seriously, maybe God give me a sign to know where I become a Buddhist nun in the future. Anyone 16 here? Grade 10? Yeah, wow, one guy. Oh, you don't go to school at that time. I understand, okay? So we have one guy who goes to school. He's in grade 10. Imagine at your age, I was, you know, inflamed with maybe later I grow up after I finish university. My parents said I have to finish university before I'm free to do whatever I want. Maybe become a Buddhist nun. So that's how crazily in love with the Buddhist I was. And then lightning struck me when I was 22. God the Father, you know, God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God the Father himself converted me. Because you know why? Oh, I never believed God is in Christianity. I grew up in Toronto. My neighborhood, 60% Christians. Don't say I don't know Christianity. I know it from those Christians. And I grew up with them in schools from junior kindergarten all the way to high school. Because most of them don't go to university. But anyway, so 60% of them are Christians. You know what? They were my friends. They were my neighbors. So don't think that I know Christians. Christians are the worst people. I'm so serious. They are going in high school into sex, into smoking, into drinking, into dancing, into parties, into breaking all the rules. While us Chinese people, although we're Buddhists or atheists, we are in the library studying, being bookworms, and we are into karaoke and dim sum. And those Christians are into all the sex and all the smoking and drinking and everything. So I knew Christianity was not in, God was not in Christianity from Christians, not from learning the religion, from seeing them live their life before my eyes. And what did it take to convert me? God himself, can you imagine? God the Almighty, God the Father, through a miracle, he spoke to me, he let me feel heaven, and he told me he is God and he's in Christianity. I said, God, are you not in Buddhism? He said, I'm in Christianity. I said, what is Christianity? He said, that man nailed to the cross. He didn't say, I'm that man. I know it wasn't Jesus speaking to me. He said, Christianity is that man nailed to the cross. It's God the Father speaking to me. The Bible and the church. And God said to me, I have heaven to give you. You know, in Buddhism, there's no heaven or hell. It's like reincarnation. There's no creator God even. There's power out there that nobody can reach or not comprehend. It's controlling reincarnation. Adds up all the good and bad things that you do this lifetime. If you do a lot of bad, you'll be reincarnated, born as a human being, but maybe born handicapped, born into a bad family, born poor, born sick. But if you do a lot of good, this power will make you reincarnate into maybe another family, be born again, and be well, you know, be fortunate, be healthy, be normal, be rich, be successful. So anyway, God the Father, he let me know that he's in Christianity. And he told me he has heaven to give me. I said, what is heaven? Because in Buddhism, there's no heaven or hell. There's reincarnation. Unlimited times. When God said, I have heaven to give you, I said, what is heaven? And all of a sudden, I'm so serious, he let me feel it. All of a sudden, this powerful force, later I know it's the Holy Spirit, filling my soul, my heart, my chest, filling me with peace, love, and joy, so strong, so strong, so strong, so strong. Peace, love, and joy. And I can feel so strong. It's not peaceful. It's powerful. Peace, love, and joy. The Holy Spirit of God will fill your little spirit. Peace, love, and joy. And every moment in heaven, I feel more peace, more love, more joy, more, more, more. And I can feel the source of it. I can feel the source of it going into me. I can feel it going deep, more, more, more. I feel it going deep, 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 deep. I felt it going into infinity. I felt infinite peace, love, and joy. You know, as human beings, we are finite creatures. We cannot feel anything infinite. We have a threshold. There's a maximum happiness. You can be happy or joy or pain or sorrow. We have a threshold. But that was one time in my life. God let me experience infinite something. And that was that Him, His infinite, what is God's peace, love, and joy. And when I felt that, I said, God, fulfilling because it's infinite. And God said, this is what I have to give you, heaven. And I said, this is all I want. He said, then you have to be a Christian. I mean Christianity. I said, what do I need to do to be a Christian? I'm so serious. When I asked him, what do I need to do? All of a sudden, I felt this sword hacking every joint in my body into pieces. I'm being cut up. And I felt some of the pain, but not the full effect. Like, I guess God knew I couldn't take the full effect of pain. I felt some of the pain. And I told God, I said, it's too painful. I can't take it. And then after I told God, it's too painful. I can't take it. He did not let me feel this heavenly feeling right beside it to compare. He said, but I will reward you with this heavenly feeling. And when I compare the two, imagine your body being hacked into pieces by a sword, the pain. But beside it, you get this powerful pain, this loving joy, so strong, so strong, so strong, so strong to the point that this hacking pain that I told God just a moment ago, it's so much I can't take. It becomes weak and insignificant. Compared to the reward, God will give you peace and joy so much stronger. I told God, all I want is this heavenly feeling. Nothing in the world can give me this, even if I have all the money in the world. And at that time, I was working as a pharmacist. I'm actually a pharmacist by education. I graduated at the University of Toronto Faculty of Pharmacy. I was a Shoppers Drug Mart pharmacist, and I loved working as a pharmacist. I left for the monastic life, not because I didn't like pharmacy. I loved being a pharmacist. But anyway, even, I told God, this heavenly feeling, even, I said, nothing in the world can give me this, even if I have all the money in the world, even if I'm the best pharmacist and own all the pharmacies, even if I'm the most popular person in the world, most famous, everybody knows me and loves me, even if I'm the most intelligent, clever person in the world, I have all the PhD degrees, you know, the most educated, know everything, the all-knowing thing, even, okay, I didn't want to get married, but even if I did, and I had the best husband, and the best children, everyone in the world will know, my husband is better than all of yours, I have the best kids, you know, all the things that people want, I have everything, the best house, the best jewelry, the best clothes, the best cars, everything people want, I have it all, okay, even God, if you give me everything in the world, the happiness is shallow. It's not powerful. Peace, love, and joy, and go into your soul and fulfill you eternally. It's not that. I told God, God, nothing in the world can give me this joy, this peace, love, and joy that you can give me. All I want is heaven. He said, then you have to be a Christian. I'm in Christianity. I told him, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. And after I said it three times, he gave me faith, and I believed. You know, I just, you know, when did I get faith? This miracle happened? 1993. After I had faith, I spent a year and a half, I told my friends now, I'm a Christian now. Before, I was telling people off. Second thought, you're right. You know? So, I have Christian friends. My best friend was Monica Gerges. Her name is Monica. She goes to the St. Mark Church in Toronto. She brought me to her church. I went to Greek Orthodox Church. I went to the Romanian Orthodox Church. I went to Catholic churches because I have friends who are Catholic. And all my Chinese friends who were Christians, they were all Protestants. I went to the Protestant church, went to the fellowship, talked to the pastors, talked to the priests of different churches, talked to the nuns of the Catholics, the Anglicans, went to Egypt, did all that. After I did a year and a half of church shopping, going to over 20 churches, interviewing the priests of different churches, the pastors, the servants, the Sunday school teachers, all the knowledgeable people. And they all say that they are right and the others are wrong. I told God, I said, God, you got me into this mess. You told me you're in Christianity. And now I ask, all the Christians, they're all not together. I said, God, which church is the best of the best on the face of this earth? Because you know why? I get to choose. And I'm going to do this behind my parents' back. I didn't tell my family I was Christian. Didn't tell them I'm going to get baptized after year and a half. I have to do it behind my back. They won't want it. So I told God, I said, you know what? You took me 22 years to know you're not in Buddhism. You're in Christianity. Okay, I want the best of the best because you know why? I love you so much. I'm going to give my life to you. What? You give me a church that has the right faith, the right dogma, kept the best of the spirituality that Jesus Christ passed on to the apostles? A church that can fulfill me spiritually more than I can take. And you know what? Your church, the Coptic church, came out to be the one. And I told God, I said, I can't. It's too hard. The Egyptians, they speak Arabic and Coptic and English and Greek and flipping back and forth. I'm a misfit. That doesn't fit. I'm in Toronto. I'm Canadian, just like you're, you know, here it's Ottawa. It's Canada. You're Canadian. That I, what am I asking for? I'm asking for the impossible. I'm asking for the multicultural, the church to be multicultural in English. Just like in Toronto, everywhere I go to school, it's English, multicultural. I go shopping, I go to work. Only if I go to Chinatown, it's Chinese. But I feel comfortable, I'm Chinese, so it doesn't bother me. But everywhere else I go, I'm comfortable. It's only at my church, the Coptic church, I feel like a misfit that doesn't fit. The people are nice. I love the people. I don't mean anything about people. People are nice. They're humble. They're meek. They love God. They love me. But I feel just still a misfit because of the language barrier. You know what I told God? I said, God, I'm a misfit that doesn't fit. It's too hard. I can't. I didn't say no to God. I just said, help me. I can't. And he helped me. And I have gotten thus far. I had faith in 1993. A year and a half later, 1995. So that's what, 31 years now? 31 years I've been baptized. I've been baptized in 1995 by two priests, Abuna Marcos and one of the other priests at the St. Mark Church. I've been baptized for 31 years. I entered the monastic life. I'm a nun of St. Diana's Monastery in Egypt, in Bereri, Bel-Es. That's where the monastery is. I entered in 1998. After I was baptized 3 years, I could not stay at the world. I was dying. I had to go. But I was successful. I was successful. I was working as a pharmacist full-time, Shoppers Drug Mart. I love pharmacy. I love being a pharmacist. I love my job. I was volunteering in four different places with the city of Toronto, with the government, a senior home, nursing home, Catholic Children AIDS Society, and the Distress Center Hotline. So I was volunteering. I was working as a pharmacist full-time. I didn't want to get married. I get along with my family. I get along with the friends. I'm a successful pharmacist. Everything is just going well. But I reached that point in my life when I was 27. Everything's going well, but you know what? I'm not fulfilled. What do I mean? Imagine in life, okay? Later, you're now still in high school, in college, you maybe not reach that stage. But after you graduate, you start to work for some years. And everything that you want, you get. You want to get married, you got married. You want to get kids, you got kids. You want to buy your car, you bought your car. You want to get a house, you got your house. You might reach this, that point in your life that everything you want to get, you got. Are you fulfilled? Meaning, are you ready? If you were going to die tomorrow or after a year or 5 years, can you say, God, I'm ready to die? I live my life to the fullest. Take me now. I'm ready to die. Judge me now. I felt I'm not ready. And I felt even if I, you know, like do more, it will not fulfill me. I felt what will fulfill me? I need God more. I need to be a nun. What is a nun? A nun or a monk is someone who loves God above all creation. Why do we leave everything? Because everything we have don't fulfill me. Only God, you fulfill me. And I want to get you and help others live a fulfilled life on earth as well. So even from the beginning, I asked His Holiness Pope Shenouda. I went to Egypt 1997. I entered the monastery in 1998. 1997, I went with Father of Confession, my Abuna, and to ask Pope Shenouda. Told Pope Shenouda, I want to be a missionary nun. Not just a nun, I want to go to St. Damiana's monastery because she's my mother. I was baptized with the name Damiana. I love St. Damiana. I want to go to her monastery to be a nun after I learn the spiritual life. And then I go back in the world to help people spiritually, but I don't know how. So I call myself a missionary. I thought I would go to the monastery for 6-7 years, learn the monastic life, and come up to serve. But you know what? It took me 25 years. I'm that slow. I'm that dumb. It took me 25 years. And Baba Shri knew that. You know what he said to me? He said, we don't have missionary nuns. The Catholics have it, but we are Orthodox. We have nuns who worship, pray, and we have deaconesses, the Komukarasa. They serve. We don't have nuns who do both. And he asked me, do you want to be a deaconess? I said, no, I don't want to be a deaconess. I need to be a nun to get the closeness with God. Only the monastic life will fulfill my thirst for God. And after I get God, I want to help people get close to God too. So I call myself a missionary nun, but not a deaconess. And then, you know what Baba Shenhuda said? He said, okay, I approve. And I'm very happy. He said, in the future, when you become a missionary, do your missionary work, he said, I will personally make sure. And at that time, I asked to go back to Toronto. Like I asked, just go to the monastery, learn how to become a nun, go back to Toronto. They will open a convent for me, and I will do my missionary work in Toronto. Because, you know, like I'm just from Toronto. I think of Toronto. I don't think about more than that. But Baba Shenhuda said, he said, in the future, when you do your missionary work, every country that you go to, I will personally make sure there will be people to receive you in every country. They will receive you and provide for your transportation and accommodation. So I was very surprised from his response. I asked to go back to Toronto. He said, every country that you go to. Now it's true. I am now, I was serving with Amber David in New York last year, 2 years ago in New England. 2.5 years ago, I was in Canada, in Toronto. And now I come back to tell you my view of the Coptic Orthodox Church, my experience. I've been in it since 1993, so it's over 32 years. I've been baptized for 31 years. I've been in the monastic life in March, next month. It will be 28 years. I tell you my review. If you want depth, the Coptic Orthodox Church has given me the opportunity to go as deep as I want with Christ, more than I can take. It has fulfilled me more than I can take in terms of if I want depth, want to be as close to God as possible, to understand Him, to have a personal relationship close with Him, I got that. I love God so much, if I look back now. I love Him so much. I feel so close to Jesus. I feel Jesus is with me all the time. I'm never bored. I'm never lonely. And as you can tell, I'm not afraid. And I'm by myself. You know, going from church to church, country to country. Why? Because I have Jesus with me. You can get Jesus. I don't mean you have to be a monk or a nun. But if you want God so much, you can get it here at this church, in the church that you go to. I am so serious. Why? Because it's the same God. And the prayers that we pray in the monastery and how we keep ourselves, you can do it here. I pray the Agni every day. You don't, but if you want, who's stopping you? I pray Tesbaha on my own every day. Now I'm serving. Maybe you don't, but if you want, you can. All the prayers that we pray, they're not special. They're prayers that you can pray too. I pray to God all the time throughout the day. It's so easy to be with God all the day. Throughout the day, I'm not thinking on my own. I'm thinking with Jesus. For example, when I wake up, I say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you. And I say the Lord's Prayer. And then when I wake up, if I have breakfast, I say, thank you for the food. If I look at my messages and people messaging me, I say, God bless them. Help her. Help this, do this, do this. I am always thinking with Jesus in my mind. Instead of thinking what you have to do, you have to study. I always say, God, help me understand what I'm trying to study so that I can glorify you and help people. Help me, help me, help me for the glory of your holy name. If you are, you know, trying to keep yourself from the sins and the temptations of the world, it may be peer pressure. People in school may give you peer pressure to what? To swear, to lie, to cheat, to fool around, to just play games, not focus in school. if I were you, I would say, no, I'm going to focus on my education, God. I'm going to focus. I'm not going to play games until after I finish all my schoolwork. And if they want to vape and drink, I say, no, that's bad for my health. It can cause addiction, really. And once people get into addiction, really, okay, you know what happens? Satan has gotten into them. I am so serious. Look at people who have addiction. May it be vaping, may it be gaming, may it be binging on the net, looking at just anything, browsing through everything. Once you're on TikTok and you browse through it, every day you have to keep on looking. It could be smoking weeds, marijuana. It can be pornography. It can be having sex before you're married. It can be thinking about becoming a lesbian or gay or being trans. You know what? When we don't obey God and do something that's against the commandments of God or breaking the commandments of God, you know what happens? Satan, I'm so serious. It's not the Holy Spirit in us. It's Satan will get into your mind, and once he gets into your mind, thinking about the sin, whatever it is, vaping, swearing, smoking, drinking, lying, cheating, whatever, it goes into your heart, and before you know it, you're out of control. And what's that called? An addiction. What is an addiction? Addiction is when you can't stop yourself in doing something, and it becomes a habit. It can be all those things that I just mentioned. It can be you're addicted to what? Swearing at people, fighting, anger, bullying, hating, always thinking bad about others, want to beat them up or something, want to show off. Once Satan gets into us, you know what happens? He takes control. And then we lose control. I'm so serious. Have you seen people possessed by devils? Even the movies, okay? They lose their mind and lose control, and you can tell the devil's in them because the person is not acting normal anymore. Real person. It's Satan. When Satan gets into a person, he takes control. But when God is in us, the Holy Spirit, when we keep the commandments of God and do the will of God, God gives us freedom. Freedom to be free, to be in control. So don't think that, oh, well, you know, just because I don't obey what the church is teaching us to stay away from all the bad things in school, and your mom and dad are telling you that. Don't think that. If you don't, you can get away with it. You can't, because it's not this simple. The game of life is God fighting, or Satan fighting against God. If it's not God's Holy Spirit in us, I'm so serious, if Satan will get into us, and once that happens, we have no control. I cannot stop thinking about that pornography. I cannot stop thinking about that weed that I need to smoke before I can sleep. I cannot stop binging on TikTok, all the gross things that come up. And when you do it, you think you're having fun, but afterwards you will feel guilty. And it doesn't really give peace and joy. I'm so serious. Now you're at an age, you're not kids anymore. You're youths. You're older. You now have to take responsibility. You have to make decisions to care for yourself. So what should we do? Here it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The word is transformed. Don't be conformed, mean just follow, be a follow cat. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind, meaning think, have good thoughts in your mind to renew your thoughts that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're supposed to be doing what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what should we be thinking of? In Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Okay, look at this verse. If you can follow this one verse, it will change. bring your whole life. So I'll just go over it slowly so you understand. God is saying we need to renew our mind to do that perfect will of God. So what does he mean? Here, Philippians, St. Paul is saying, we should think about whatever things are true. So things that are not true, for example, okay, I see that guy walk in the room, look at me, walk out. So I'm thinking, and I'm just imagining he doesn't like me. You know how sometimes you think someone's against you, not happy with you, or what? You're thinking, but there's no proof. And when you think these things, you know what? You begin to believe it. But there's no truth in it. So don't imagine things and think things. And think, oh, my friend doesn't like me because of this. Or I think that couple, they broke up because of this. We don't know the truth. Because when you stop thinking, imagining, you think you know when it's not true. Whatever things are noble, we should be thinking about things that are noble, that are honorable, not disgusting. So don't look at things on the net that's not noble, that's disgusting. Whatever things are just. Whatever things are just meaning fair. So don't say, oh, it's not fair. My mom and dad loves my brother more than me because he's a guy. Oh, this is not fair. They got into the football team or the cheerleader team or this sport, and I didn't get in. You know, don't start thinking things that's not fair. Because when you start thinking, oh, it's not fair, you know what? You're being the judge. Only God can judge. And not only that, you're going to feel bad. Because when you think things are not fair, you think you deserve more. Who says you deserve more? If you did, God would have given it to you. So you're judging that God is, you know, you're putting yourself against God. You're judging, it's not our job to judge, and you're saying it's not fair. Who says it's not fair? God let it happen. It must be fair. You just don't see the good behind it. Whatever things are pure, we should think about things that are pure, not things that are defiled, like disgusting, like pornography, or ugly things. For example, I do have Facebook, I do have Instagram, I do have TikTok. But you know what? Because people send me links, I open them, and that's it. I don't binge and flip through anything. Because I tried one time, after I opened a link that someone opened, sent to me, and I started just scrolling, oh my God, all these things come up that capture you, but it doesn't give peace. You see, like, accidents, car accidents, you see animals eating one another, you see things that, you know, that's kind of take my peace away. So I have all these apps, and I have internet, I have an iPhone, but I'm careful. I use it to benefit. I open the links people sent me, and that's it. But I don't scroll, and I close it. So all this technology you have, you can use it, but don't let it harm you. If you start scrolling, the devil's going to get into you. I don't let him do that. Because I see him doing that. And we understand. So I use it to look at things that I want, and then I close it. So that he doesn't have a chance to let me see bad things. And once I see it, it's in my mind. It goes in my heart. Like he got into me. I want God in me. So even if you have a mobile, and I do have internet, and I get free Wi-Fi wherever I go to, be careful, especially at your age. You know, people sharing so much things. If things going to waste your time and look at bad things and think about, you know, things that's not helpful for your relationship with God or your studies, maybe reconsider not to look at them. Whatever things are lovely. So we're supposed to think about lovely things and not, I hate him. He hates me. They hate each other. Don't think about hateful things. When we think about hateful things, hate gets into our heart. God says, love your neighbors as yourself. It's a commandment. We owe one another love. I owe everyone love. Because God says, love everyone the same. We owe one another love. So if I start saying, I hate him, or he hates me, or they hate each other. Oh, that couple is getting a divorce because they hate each other. You know? Like, it's just kind of, we don't want to talk about hateful things. When we talk about hateful things, hate's going to get into us, or pride's going to get into us, or judgment. example, okay, I see that couple getting a divorce or they're fighting and they hate each other and I hate them too, so I'm happy they hate each other because I hate them too. Am I not being evil? Am I not sinning? So don't think and talk about hateful things. Whatever things are of a good report. So I'm supposed to say, oh, that was so helpful. Abuna was so kind. And look what this guy did. His service went so well. And, you know, that girl, she tried so hard. We're supposed to be saying good things about people and not gossip by saying, oh, he didn't get into the faculty. He didn't get, he failed the test. He's a loser. He's fat. He's ugly. He's poor. You know, he's a plant. We're not supposed to be gossiping and saying bad things about people. You know why? When we speak bad things about people, pride's going to get into us. And all other sins can come out of pride. And then it also says, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we're supposed to be talking about virtues of people. That person is so kind, so caring, so loving, so merciful, so considerate, so helpful, so hardworking. You know, we're supposed to be thinking about virtues and not their weak spots, their sins. Like, that's a drug addict. He's a nerd. He failed. He's a loser. She also failed. She's ugly. We're not supposed to be condemning people. We're supposed to be looking at their virtues and seeing anything or thinking anything praiseworthy about people. Is it meditate on these things? So these are the things that our mind's supposed to be thinking of. So if we just, you know, try to even focus on this one verse about what should we be thinking of, I think our whole life can change. And one more verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. That's what we're supposed to be doing. You are young, but you know what? You're so important. You people are so important. You know why? Because you're at an age where you can make your decisions. You can become a very good girl or a very good guy if you want. And you can turn very bad if you want. Why should we keep the commandments of God? I'll tell you why. Because he's right. I'm so serious. If I look at the commandments of God, okay, don't lie, don't cheat, don't swear, don't waste your time on just anything, don't think about bad things, don't be proud, be humble, study hard, care for others, be merciful, obey your parents. You know all the commandments of God? God is trying to teach us right from wrong. God, the Almighty Creator God, he's the source of all righteousness. He's teaching us right from wrong. Now in the world, the schools are teaching strange things, saying that you can turn to a cat if you want, you can turn to a dog, you can turn to a furry animal, when it's impossible. A girl can turn to a guy can turn to a girl. It's not magic like that, you know? And someone can trans and be gay and not that. You have to understand that we know right and wrong from God. The world can change their opinions every day. Today, they say gay is okay. Tomorrow, they say no. You know, they just change in the opinion. People's opinion don't mean anything. Only God's opinion counts because God is the one who will judge us every day and when we die. And why do you come to church? You need to stay close to God and stay in church. You know why? Because if you don't, the devil is like a roaring lion. He wants to take people to hell. I'm so serious. We know God. After we know God, faith without works is dead. Faith is not enough. Just because you have faith, you go to church, you take communion, you're maybe even a deacon, you learn the hymns, you went to Sunday school, you even fast, you even maybe donate your money or your time. You may, you know, serve. But if we don't keep the commandments of God after we leave the church, that after you leave the church, you go home, you go to school, you meet your friends, and you start drinking and swearing and smoking and saying all bad things and fighting, you know what? You're not going to go to heaven. God sees cannot control anyone. You're free. You're big now. You're not a child. You're a youth. You can do what you want, and you're going to grow up to become an adult. We want you to take care of yourself. The world is out to kill and destroy Satan. So in order to protect ourselves, the church is teaching us. God is the one who knows how to teach us to protect ourselves against all the temptations of the world. So we know the temptations. We know. I just told you what they are. So after you know, you have to be prepared. Okay? Those things are going to hurt me. I'm going to stay away. You have to want to protect yourself, or else we cannot protect you. Abu and I cannot protect you. Your mom and dad can. Amba Bullis can. I can't. Not the servants either. Your Sunday school teachers. All the servants. We can't. We will just be crying for you. Because you know what? Oh my God, Satan has gotten into you. So you be careful. If you leave God and his commandments, don't think nothing happens. Satan gets into the lost son. I am so serious. And Satan has no peace, love, and joy. Satan will get into you, make you lose control, and you will be under his control. And after that, we cannot get Satan out of you because you won't come back to us. Life is real. God is real. Satan is real. The sins of the world, we know what they are. So we say, okay, those are the bad things. I'm not going to do it. Those are the traps. I'm not going to fall into it. And you have to want to care for yourself. And you have to stay close to the church. Why? Even just coming in the church, you know, we have angels, we have the saints, we have the Holy Spirit protecting us. That a person who's possessed with the devil doesn't want to come to the church. You come into the church so God will protect you. The devils are real. We don't see them, but we see them in the actions of people. All the lust of the world, they're bad. You stay away from them. Why? So that you don't let the bad things hurt you. Why should you care for yourself? Because we don't want you to hurt yourself. We want you to be good. We want you to be healthy, be normal, grow up to be virtuous people, holy people. I want you to be cool. I remember when I was in junior high, now they call it middle school, you know, grade 7, 8, and 9, something, in Toronto. That was the year that had the most peer pressure. High school was a little bit better. And I want to be cool. You know what cool is? You are cool when you know what is right and you're not afraid to stand up for it. When you know what is right. When people are vaping and smoking and then they say, come on, aren't you gonna smoke with us? You say, no, it's okay. I have chips. You know, when they are drinking alcohol, beer, okay? Want a beer? You say, no, I'll have a Coke. And you're not embarrassed. And they look up to you. A cool person is when you know what's right and wrong, and you're not afraid to do what is right. But when you're afraid, peer pressure, if I don't smoke and drink and have sex like my friends, then I'm not included. Well, then I think you're a nerd. You're just a follower. You have no character. You have no integrity. You're just a nerd. You're just a chicken in my eyes. I am so serious. You know, I admire people who can stand up for righteousness, but not insult those who are sinful with them. But they just stand up on their own. For example, who? Joseph the righteous in the Bible. He was sold as a slave in Egypt. And Egypt and Pharaohs and other people were pagans. But he kept to his God. He didn't worship the pagan gods. But he was good with everyone. He accepted them the way they are. If you want to worship the pagan gods, you go ahead. But I'm going to worship the real God. Yeah? He was so cool. He was so cool to the point that God made him next to Pharaoh. And even Pharaoh left him and he was ruling over other people. He was the best manager, best director. He symbolizes Jesus saving the people from the 7 years of famine. Bought all their property, their animals, even bought them as slaves. You know, he was so cool. Why don't you be cool? You know, when you look at these things, you have all these things. Actually, those saints are printed icons from our monastery, St. Vienna, because I happen to be the photographer, so I take pictures of our clients, and then we print them. And you bought them. Okay? So those are the saints of their generation. Do you know who you are? Wake up. You are the saints of our generation. You are the saints of our generation. Why? You are the ones who come to church. Those who left, they're going to go to hell. They're not saints anymore. Bye-bye. Hell has stuck them in. You are the ones who come to church. You are the Orthodox who come to Orthodox. I know this is the best church. You know why? God, let me know. I told you I want the best church on the face of this earth. And God, let me know. The Orthodox church who come to Orthodox. I said, I can't help you. Let me help you. I've gotten deep into it. And you know what I got? I got God so much. That if you want God so much, nothing is stopping you but yourself. God said, love him with all your mind. So as I said, what your mind should be thinking of. Your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength, your actions. Actions are, okay, God, I will do what you want. Why? Because you're right. You want me to take care of myself? You're teaching me? Okay, I will obey. Why? Because it's for my good. Like, the commandments of God are not, like, how can I say, it's not a burden on us. It is the answer for the best life. If I can love everyone as myself, even my enemies, have no grudges, love them. If I was humble and not proud, no one can hurt me. I will always keep my peace. If you give the commandments of God, we will always have peace and joy. You know, I will never be upset. If I can really surrender my will to you and whatever you allow to happen, I will say, okay, God, Father, just help me to accept because I'm weak. And he helps me, I will have no problem. People are stressed out. Why? Because I want this, I didn't get it. Or I have this, and I don't want it. I have lungs. I have diseases. I have diabetes. I have cholesterol. I have a heart problem. I don't want it. And what I want is, I want more money. I want security. I want my children to be good. I want to do well in school. I want to have the best friends. I want to get in this club, and I didn't get it. But you will say, God, I will try to get this. If it's your will, grant it to me. If not, fine. Help me accept it and I'll give it. Then we will always be good. The problem is we cause problems for ourselves. We want this and if we don't get it, we get upset. We just stop it. We're not here to come and God, give me this or else I'm going to get upset with you. Stop it. We're not in control. He's in control. So God, we want this. But if you're not allowed for it because you see it's not the best for me, help me accept it. Because maybe what I'm asking for really is not the best for me. I don't know the future. I may become proud. Or the future, if I sidetrack, go another way. I don't know. You see the best. And I know what you want. All I want, God, I want the best reward in heaven. Going to heaven is not enough for me. I want the best reward. Why? Because I don't want to waste my life. You know, we have one life to live. And this short years that we have to live on planet Earth, even if we live until 120 years, okay? Most of us don't, but even if we live that long, it will determine my eternal life in heaven, how much God will reward me in heaven, 100% or 80% or 10% eternally, or maybe end up in hell. Imagine if you got 10% on your tests in school. Are you happy? You get 50. You pass. Are you happy? 60. Happy? 70. Are you going to get into any professional program? Look at 70. Wow. Can brag about it. Have to get at least an 80, right? I'm serious. Or else, what are you going to get into? You get into something, program, can't find any job. I'm serious. As we care about our education, don't forget the whole purpose of life. What's going to end up at the end? I'm going to go to heaven or hell. And even if I go to heaven, because I have the church and I have faith, what mark are you going to get in heaven? 10%, 20? Why? Because I didn't benefit that much. Why? Because I was busy with my kids. I was busy with my friends. I was busy with my mobile, my games. You just stop it. And God said, well, you know, you just wasted your life, you idiot. I died on the cross for you so you can get the 100%. You just totally wasted it. You get 10%. You stand in the back of heaven. And now the others are in the front and seeing God more. Being blessed more. Can you be happy when you were born or somehow have the Coptic Orthodox faith? Or Orthodox. We have the seven sacraments. We have all the prayers. We have all the liturgies. we have, our church is so, how can I say, active. And the Sunday school programs are so good. You all know everything more than the Protestants and the Catholics, because the Sunday school programs are good, so good. And there's so much fellowship. You know? And you people are poor. You people come from Egypt. But, you know, your parents are poor, giving every penny. And after they do all this for you, and I get 10%, 20% heavy. Oh, my God, even the Parkinson's get me 50%, 80%. If they try their heart. Like that Charlie Cook, that shot. You know? He gave his life. He's a Protestant. I'm an Orthodox. So what do we have that they don't have? We have the seven sacraments. The Protestants have what? The Bible. Hooray! Got the Bible. We have the Bible and seven sacraments. We have eight things, eight talents, eight gifts God gave us. We have eight, we have one. So God said, I gave you the seven sacraments and all the prayers. What did you do? What did you return? You know the parable about the servants. One got 10 talents, returned 10. The five returned 5, meaning 100%. The one got one, dug in the ground and didn't do anything. And God said, you go to hell. So we got eight talents. What did you benefit from the eight? God said, okay, now I judge you. You're dead. Eight talents I gave you. Did you go to confession? No. Did you take communion? Sometimes. Did you fast and pray the Tesh B'chai and the other prayers of our church? Sometimes. Did you really love me and keep my commandments? When I felt like it, but not all the time. God said, oh my God, what a waste. I wasted it on you. I'm so serious. We have to look, take life seriously. You're not young. You're old now. You're youth. You're intelligent. You can figure things out. You know a lot from this Sunday school. You have to say, okay, God, after you tell me everything, you know what? I have to live it. Remember I told you I was against Christians. I know God was not Christianity from the Christians I grew up with in school. They didn't get the commandments. Not all of them, but yeah, the rowdy group. You have to keep the commandments of God. You have to not have sex before marriage. You have to stay away from marijuana. Because why? It's very addictive. And once you get addicted, oh my God, it's so hard to get people out of it. And after you get out of it, you might go back in. It's like Satan keeps on wanting to get back in the person. I am so serious. People tell me this. I don't have the experience, but I believe them. Stay away from the drinking, the alcohol, the vaping, and be careful what you do with your mobile. I have a mobile. I have internet. I have a mobile since 2015, so like over 10 years. I have internet because I serve Oriental Temple Church internationally, so I have a chat group with them. But I've never let it hurt me. Because I care for myself. I want to take care of myself. You have to do that too. Your mom and dad can always watch over you, nor Abuna or the servants of the church. You have to say, okay, God, I know the sins of the world, and I'm going to keep myself pure. And you can do it. I know you can do it. God knows you can be righteous. You know why? Think about it. Why did God create you now in this generation where there's trans and lesbians and marijuana and internet and all the bad things and games and gambling and all that? Why? But when I'm just one generation older than you. I will be in your parents' generation. When I was growing up in Toronto, I'm so serious. We didn't have trans to be legal. We didn't have gays and lesbians to be legal. They just invented the condom, even. And they were thinking, when I was working as a pharmacist, we learned how to use the condom to teach the patients how to use the condom. Because it's a new. And in terms of internet, when I went to the monastery in 1998, we had internet, but the internet was only for email. There was no, Windows 11 now? The Microsoft company was not invented yet. So the net was for emailing. we didn't have the mobile phone. There's no screen and mobile phone or search or Google, all that. So I didn't have a lot of the temptations or the sins that you are facing now. You are facing a lot more sinful pressure than when I grew up at your age. But why God made you create it now and not before? You know why? I'm so serious. Because you people are better than me. You people are better than me. God knows that you will be able to keep yourself righteous amidst all these sinful things, so that God will reward you more than when you were born. If you were born in my generation, I didn't have as much sinful things to say no to. So I had it easier. You people have it more difficult to keep your holiness, to keep the commandments of God. So in doing so, God knows that you can keep them if you want. You have the potential. You have the willpower. And if you do, God give you a bigger crown than me and my generation, who didn't go through as much. God is just. Just because you're going through more doesn't mean, well, you're the loser. You just have to fight harder. No, the reward is greater in heaven. So what do you have to do? You say, God, you created me now with all these bad things in the world, and I know what they are. So they don't surprise me. I have a plan. I will stay away from them. Why? Because you are true. I don't want to waste my life. I don't want Satan to get into me and control me. When Satan and these sins get into us, we lose control. I'm serious. And you know what I mean. We lose control. You know the feeling of not having control? You have anxiety. You get mad easily. You don't have peace. You cannot focus on your school. Satan is so disturbing. Whereas God is peaceful and you are under control to focus on your study. So be careful. You take care of yourself. I come from Egypt to tell you, you take care of yourself. And I know you will be successful because God created you at this time for success. God created us to build us, not destroy us. You take care of yourself. Don't be like Judas. You know how the 12 apostles, 11 of them kept themselves good. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but he repented. But Judas turned out bad, sinful. He listened to Satan, wanted money, wanted less of the world, and he ended in hell. So you be careful. You don't be like Judas. Why? Letting the sins of the world capture you, and there you go with Satan. It's no longer God in you. To have God in you, you have to keep the commandments of God. And you know what they are. And you stay in the church, so for the church, you will feel support. Will you have fellowship? We are all supporting one another to keep the commandments of God. And say no to the obvious sins in the world. I'm going to say no, and we're going to be strong. We have a plan how to stay away from them. I'm going to protect myself. Anything that's bad on the net, I'm not going to look at it. I'm going to close it. Don't waste time on games. If you have to play games, maybe 1 or 2 hours on Saturday, but not every day when you should be studying. You know what I mean? And read the Bible. Why? Because when you read the Bible, we hear Jesus' voice in the Bible, his teaching. The words of the Bible will change me. He can transform me. I can't change, but he can change me. And also, I want, now that we are in Lent, take advantage of confession. I'll tell you why. The sacrament of confession is miraculous. If there's a sin, just pick one sin that's bad in you. Just focus on one. The sin may be, what about gaming? I don't know. Maybe it's pornography. Whatever, one bad sin that you have. Maybe it's hating someone. Whatever, okay? You can't forgive someone. Whatever, okay? You're always complaining. Whatever, okay? Take one, the worst sin that you have, and focus on it. And say, God, I like this sin. Maybe, for example, okay, it's smoking, okay? Vaping, okay? I like smoking. It makes me feel good. I like the high from it. But you know what? I'm being addicted. And really, like, I'm wasting money and time, and it's not helpful. Like, it's not something that I want to be addicted in. I feel bad after being addicted. Help me stop. I can't. Help And then when you sincerely talk to God and say, help me, I can't. I want to stop it, but I can't. You go to Abuna, you go to confession. After Abuna gives you the absolution, that sin will stop in you. Unless you think about it. I did feel good last night. I have it. Okay. And then you put it in your mouth and you do it again. But if you stop it from the thought comes to you, faith. And say, no, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. I don't want to. I don't want to do it again. I don't. I want to quit. You call on Jesus to help you to stop the sin. And don't think about it. It will not go back into you. You can stop it with Jesus Christ. If confession cannot stop the sins that we love, but we know is killing us, then what is the point? We need confession. Why do we confess? It is a sacrament. It's a miracle that Jesus will change me to take out the sin from me, transform me, to stop it. I can't because I am a sinner. I love it, but I know it's wrong and I feel guilty afterwards. Help me. Change me, God. Help me to hate it and help me get the desire out of me. Change me. Changes if we give him the permission and the will. Give him the permission. I give you permission. God, change me. I want you to change me. I can't. I know I love this and it's bad. I can't stop and hope. Get it out of me. Help me. And go to confession, it will stop. Unless you think about it again and you don't. But when the thought comes, you don't accept it that time, it won't go back into you. Even lust, even if it's pornography. I'm serious. I'm talking about the deadly sins that we love, but we can't stop. But it's killing us, and we feel guilty. Confession can cure us because God will change us, but just don't rethink it to get it back into you after you confess. Glory be to God. Forever, amen. Keep yourself good. You know why? I'm so serious about my life. I'm so serious about heaven. I want to get the 100%. I'm giving it my all. I think you should too. You can. It takes a will. And if you have the will, God will do the rest for you. Glory be to God forever.
Thank you, Mother, for the talk. It's really very rich to know how to live as a Christian and then in this world. But I'm going to give now the mic to everyone. If you have any question, we have time. Good. Yes. It's an open discussion. Yes. Yeah. I think my name.
You said you had 8 siblings and you're the 7th sibling. Did you ever convince your siblings to convert or your parents?
Yeah, I tried. Two of my brother, one of my brother and one of my sister, they married Catholics. Their spouses are Catholics, so they married Catholic Church. And years after, they got faith, so they got baptized in the Catholic Church. But other than that, the rest, no. I try talking to them, but they don't accept it. You know that I have all the faith, right? And I'm talking to people of faith, but I cannot give it to my family. Because faith, it is an individual thing that each person has to get it from God. So if you have faith, because your parents baptize you when you're babies, and I want to shove the blood of Jesus into your mouth before you even know how to, you know, have teeth, and God, and then your parents brought you to church, and through the prayers, you got faith without doing anything. Faith is so hard to get. And without faith, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven, doors are open. Paradise, the door are open. Because you have faith. But you know what? Faith without works is dead. Meaning, even though you have faith, you're going to still end up in hell. And the works is, you have to keep the commandments of God and do the will of God. So now, okay, after you have faith, what's next? You have to keep the commandments. And what are the commandments? You know. And what are the sins? You know. Okay? So be wise. Stay away from the sins, or else you just let the whole church down, you let God down, you let yourself down. I don't know what to say. God have mercy upon us. When God gave you the best church, and you just wasted it. So don't. You have to care. care for your eternal life, you have to care for yourself. You have to. Or else no one can save you. This is how I know. After God told me about the, you know, he's in Christianity, let me feel heaven, give me faith, then I went church shopping. When I go to a church, I'm sensitive to devils, I'm sensitive to God. I just have that sense of me, okay? So when I go to a new church, when I pray with them, I feel the prayers. I feel the God they're praying to. Is it God or devils? I'm serious. I feel the people's prayers. Are you people worshiping God or Satan? Some churches I went to, I feel they're worshiping Satan. Some churches I feel they're shallow. Some churches I feel they're spooky. But with the Coptic Orthodox Church, all your prayers all the time, I feel my soul is most comfortable and needs it. Like, I feel comfortable with the God that you're worshiping, and then I also look at the people. I talk to the people, and I look at your understanding of the God that you're worshiping. So I ask you people like spiritual questions. And when I hear your answers, I say, God, give me discernment. When I go and interview the priests and the Sunday school teachers, the people, the pastors of the churches that I go to, give me discernment to know when they tell me something, if it's right or wrong. Give me discernment of right or wrong, because I don't know anything. I'm not a Christian. And some churches are wrong, some churches are spooky, some churches are confusing. It's the Coptic Church, you know, understanding. Also feel something else, not just your understanding. I feel the God, the Spirit in the congregation as a whole. I feel you people are the most meek, the most humble, the loving people. I'm not saying you don't sin. We all sin. I sin too. But generally, we're sinners, but we love God and we try to be meek and we are trying to be humble. You know, as a congregation, as a church, I feel we're meek and humble and love God. And I think why? It's because of the Muslim persecution. It is that way. Look at the other churches who are not persecuted. Look at the Greek Orthodox. They're not persecuted, right? Since St. Paul preached to the Greeks, since the beginning of Christianity, no one invaded Greece to take over them. Whereas Egypt, you know, we had the French, the British or something, and we had the Muslims. We are always oppressed, oppressed, oppressed. So what we get out of all this persecution and suppression, we become weak and humble by force. And that's why I feel the people are most humble, most gentle, most loving. And that's what spirituality is. It's about being humble and being meek and loving God. And always just, how can I say, asking for mercy and hanging on to God and not give up. Although we all sin, I do too. I don't keep to the commandments of God. But, you know, we repent. And we love God still. So I know the Catholic Church is the best through talking to them, through feeling their prayers, and feeling the people, you know, the Spirit in you, and getting to know you. So from going to every church, I can feel like God pulling me. I'm most comfortable with Catholic Church because of all these reasons. The other churches... No other church I felt as comfortable in all these things that I mentioned. But what makes me not comfortable with Coptic Church was the language barrier. But I went to Egypt and I learned Arabic and Coptic. So I'm fine with the Arabic. I understand all the Arabic prayers. I can read our prayers in Arabic. I know all the tunes and all the Coptic. So I learned it all. So I don't have a problem with language barrier anymore. Any other questions?
I'm just curious about that initial moment when you said that God the Father came and showed you that Christ was the Redeemer. Like, could you describe how that came to be? Was it a moment of prayer, seeking, meditation? How did that come about?
Okay. Actually, I was volunteering in the summer at that time. I finished third year faculty of pharmacy and did 4 months off before I entered my last year fourth year. And
one of my volunteering jobs, like I had three or four volunteering jobs, and I was working full time too, for money, like working for a school company Monday to Friday, weekends I worked at Harvey's Hamburger. And then one of my volunteering jobs was with a senior home, and I was to visit the senior, she's around 78 years old, to keep her company, be her friend. So I would go visit her once a week on a Sunday from 7 to 8, and she was a real Christian. What do I mean? She reached that point in her life, she is full of Jesus. When she failed at everything in her life, in the worldly sense, her kids kept her out. You know, it's like your tata, for example, okay? They're old, okay? And, you know, family kicked them out. She lives by herself. And the government give her, because we're in Toronto, right? Give her a bachelor apartment, pays for it, and let her, you know, live by herself. And she was blind from her stroke, and she had heart failure, diabetes, cholesterol, high blood pressure, blind from a stroke. She's sick. And I go and visit her, and all she wanted to do was talk to me about her God. She was preaching Christianity to me, but it was not her preaching that attracted me. It was, I felt she's so fulfilled. She's like, thanks be to God, hallelujah. She's so happy. When she had nothing, she felt that everything in her life, her kids now, after she could also kick her out. Her husband left her and her kids many years ago, and she's now sick and blind and lonely. But when I go to talk to her, she's so full of Jesus. Every day she's just meditating and loving Jesus more and more and more. And I felt, you know what? It's not the devil in her. I'm sensitive to devils. I felt it was God in her to give her that joy. I doubted my God because I met a real Christian. I was 22 years old. She said that God is in Christianity and that I need to ask God to reveal himself to me. He is the creator, almighty good God. I need to pray to him, ask him to give me faith to know him, that he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, and that there is heaven and there's one lifetime. I was a strong Buddhist. I didn't believe anything she said, because that's not in Buddhism, that wasn't a belief, but because I felt there was God in her. And I thought, you know, if there is a creator God, if there is, there's only one. And I felt that's the God in her. Then what, my God is wrong? I doubted my God in Buddhism because I met a real Christian. Can you believe it? And then, so I asked God. I met her in May. By the time July, 2 months later, I doubted my God. This is how I pray. While I'm lying on my bed and it takes me 2-3 minutes to fall asleep, I said, God, I'm calling you. I call you by the name of God. I don't call you by the name of Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad or Adonai. I call you by the name of God. If you exist, I'm referring to the creator. There's a creator. You're the most powerful spirit and the good spirit. So I'm not praying to Satan or devils. Creator, almighty good God, if you exist, and nothing impossible for you, you can reach out to us and give us faith to know you, but we can reach you because we're limited. Okay, reach out to me, give me faith to know. I want to know from you. I don't believe people. People are biased. You ask Christians, is it good Christianity? You ask the Muslims, it's in Islam. You ask the Hindus, it's Hinduism. You ask the Buddhists, and then you ask those who are not religious, they say there's no God. You know, people are just, they don't know anything. It's biased and they don't know anything. Don't trust anyone, they don't know anything. People don't know God, obviously. So I said, if you exist, you give me faith to know somehow, without a doubt, which religion are you in? Or maybe you exist, but not in any of the religions that we know. Maybe God exists and we don't know him. And is there heaven, as she says? If there is, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I prayed that for 3 nights, and nothing happened. So I was convinced, you know, old people say things. No, they didn't say anything. They don't know what they're talking about. But we, being young and intelligent, we are forgiving. We don't make a big fuss. We just don't listen to them. Don't fight with old people at the same time. Don't listen to them. Ignore them. So I just forget about her. And then in September, it was a volunteering job for the summer. My volunteering job ends, right? So I told her, you know, my volunteering you know, I said, but you know, since I like you, I'll keep in contact with you. I'll call you, but I won't come visit you. She said, okay. My first phone call to her. This phone call changed my life. I'm on the phone with her. We're talking, hi, how are you? Talk for about half an hour. The last 10 minutes or so, she starts preaching to me. She says things like, you need to surrender yourself to the feet of Jesus. You need to throw yourself at the feet of Jesus. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, and he will give you the best life. You know, she's preaching, okay? I'm listening. As I'm listening, I'm awake. It's 7 in the evening. I don't sleep till around 12 at night. I'm listening. I'm not talking. All of a sudden, I feel this whole presence into my room. You know how we say God is holy? First time and only time in my life, I felt his holiness, his holy presence. All of a sudden, I felt this holiness into my room. I know it's not the devil. I know the devil very well. That when it's Satan, his devil, I'm always afraid. Devil doesn't have peace or holiness to give us. He makes us scared, afraid. I know it's not the devil. So in my mind, I ask the question, this feeling coming from? Not with my mouth. She's preaching, I'm listening. I feel this holy presence enter my room. I say in my mind, where is this feeling coming from? The answer, from God. I said, God, which religion are you in? He said, I am in Christianity. I said, are you not in Buddhism? He said, I am in Christianity. I said, what is Christianity? He said, that man nailed on the cross, the Bible and the church. And then he said, I have heaven to give you. And then I said, what is heaven? He let me feel it. And then he said, I said, I want to go to heaven. He said, you have to be a Christian. I said, what do I need to do to be a Christian? He let me feel I'm being hacked into pieces by a sword. And then he said other things with their personal, and I saw a vision. At the end, I said, God, all I want is this heavenly reward. Nothing in the world can give me this fulfillment. And he said, then you have to be a Christian. I mean Christianity. I said, I want to be a Christian. After that, as we talked, he gave me freedom, I believe. And then his presence left. But then he left this flame of fire, this spark in me. And then questions came into my mind. I can't control my mind. I had to find out who's that man nailed to the cross. What is the Bible? What is the church? So I started asking people, my friends, and I, in the past, we have something called the Yellow Pages. Now you have Google Pages. I don't know, okay? It's a book, okay? So I look in the Yellow Pages. I look under Christianity. Anyone I could call. I find some Catholic priests, they have like hotline. You go on top. And you want to talk to the pastor, but there's no Catholic priest. So I called them up, and I'm a hotline, like, it's 12 at night, I can't sleep. I have to ask about the Christianity. I'm supposed to be focusing on my studies. I'm in the fourth year faculty, so I can't focus. And get the question bombarded, come up. I can't control myself. I have to ask people. I have to get the answers. First time, I have no control over my thoughts. The Holy Spirit just, like, so raptured in me. So that was my first call. I'm talking to God. He's talking to me. I can tell you his words into my mind, but I'm not listening to him with my ears. And every time if I hear voices in my ear, you know sometimes you sleep and you hear voices with your ear? Someone talking to your ear or something? It's always Satan. For me, it's always the devil. I never hear God like outside. Like you're hearing me with your ears. I always hear, four times I hear the voice of God, it's always into my mind. I'm having a conversation with him. I can tell you his words. But when we are talking, it's like you're thinking about something, he answers you into your mind. And you're talking to him into your mind. And I've had that 4 times. Every time to change my life. First time was to convert me. Second time was on my baptismal day. The day I got baptized, God told me about my future. The third time was to enter the monastery. Fourth time was to go to the monastery and don't go back. So I changed my ticket from 2-way to 1-way and flew to Egypt. I knew I was not going to come back. Every time to change my life, not like, hi, how are you? I want to teach you something. Not like that. This enlightenment about, oh, I read the Bible and understand, or I go to the churches and I know it's a Catholic church. Not through the voice of God. Through the Holy Spirit guiding me, enlightening me, and then letting me know and feel it. But not hearing the voice as I'm talking to him. And that happens all the time. You know, you read the Bible or you come to church and the Bible reading, all the reading in the church, you feel like God has a message for you. But that's not what I mean. That every day. Any other questions? do what that elderly woman did with me. It was not her preaching that converted me. It was her joy, her love of Christ. She had nothing but that Jesus in her. Can you just do that? I think we're all supposed to do that. So how can I have nothing but Jesus in me? Jesus said, love him with all my mind, all my thoughts, all my heart, all my soul, meaning my passions, and my strength, what I do. So how can I love you? Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Okay? So have your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Keep the commandments of God. Then you will have, you'll be raptured with Jesus. And God will use you in the way somehow to attract others. Maybe give you a friend who can accept Christ in our church. And then you can bring that person to our church. Or through your prayers, and your gratitude for them. And then say, yeah, I know, I prayed for you. And they say, really? You prayed for me? Who did you pray to? You know what I mean? Opens the position. You just get the God in you. How? You have to keep the commandments. Why I grew up with Christians and I knew God was not in them, it's Satan. Because they were sinful. And even as a Buddhist, I knew Satan is with them. You know why? Because we all have a conscience. Even if you're not Christian, God gives us moral conscience. There's more conscience that we have in us. Not to lie, cheat, or be a trans, or be lesbian. All religions, all culture know this. There's a conscience in us. That conscience, the moral conscience, is from the Holy Spirit of God. When he breathed into Adam, gave him morality. You don't have to be a Christian to know it's wrong to be gay and homosexual and vaping and smoking and marijuana. We're Chinese. My parents taught us all these things are wrong. Never brought God into it. What people know? I'm so serious. You don't need the Bible to say, oh, a man marrying a man is wrong. All cultures know. Just the sinful people who are doing it or trying to justify.
Saying like dreams are from God, or is it from the devil, or is it just something our mind makes up?
Okay, it can be all of those. It can be from God. You know Joseph and Virgin Mary, Joseph had their dream that, you know, leave Jerusalem, go to Egypt. Angel appeared to him in a dream to tell him. It can be, and it can be Satan appearing in dreams. I had nightmares when I was a child, so Satan was threatening me, scaring me in my dreams. Or it can be just our own thinking, your unconscious mind talking to our conscious mind. It can be any or. But to know which is which, if it's from God, when you wake up, you will know. You know why? Because God is not a God of confusion. God is a God of truth and faith. When God wants you to know something, you know. Just like when God told me, talk to me, I know it's from him. He let me know. He gave me faith. But if you wake up and you're not so sure, I don't think it's from God. Because if it's from God, you will be sure. And how would you be sure? God giving you the faith to let you know. When God wants to know something, he can. So usually that's how we know. When people say, I have a dream, but I don't know if it's from God. I say, well, how do you feel when you wake up? I'm confused. If it's from God, you won't be confused. God is not a God of confusion. He's so clear. He's so crystal clear. Just like the Bible is so crystal clear. Everything, his commandments are so clear. God is not confusion. Satan is confusion. That I don't know. So I don't know if I'm doing wrong. So even if you do something wrong, you don't know it's wrong. That's how he fools us. Any other questions?
No more questions? Are you sure? So, first of all, I would like to thank you, Mother, for your presence here at St. Mary Ottawa. And really, it was a very rich talk and touched our heart to live how is Christ, which is really very important for us. As I said before, we talked before when I was in my office, how we have a lot of challenges in our life. And to keep Christ now is very challenging, actually. When you go outside the church, which is like an ark, which is exactly ark, like Noah. And when we go outside, we see the challenges. And to live is so hard. And to keep the purity in our life, it's so hard too. But again, thank God that we have a lot of models that we present here in our church to let us know how to live. It's not about because we are monk or nun or priest, for example. No, how to live as a Christian person, real Christian outside the world, and how to preach to, not by words, but even by acts. Thank you so much for your talk, and thank you, everyone, that we listen today to Mother. And again, welcome to Mary Montiel, like join us today. So we're going to take a picture all together. So we're going to sit down here, and if you want to a little bit come close to the mid, like we're gonna sit down here. Can you sit down, right? So do you want us to move here or not? Can you, okay, this part, can you come here, like, if you can, like, join us, it's okay, or in the middle, come to the middle, and like, yes, please, thank you. On the side, if you can come to the middle, on the side, please come to the middle, on the side here. Come to the middle to let all together, to take the picture all together. Thank you. Okay, let's conclude by prayer. Okay, we can stand up to pray all together. Thank you. Remember, we aren't inside the church, huh? We aren't inside the church. Thank you. Okay, we're gonna pray. Yes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. By intercession of Saint Mary and all the Saint Archangels, we thank you, God, for everything and concerning everything. Thank you that you bring us. We have the church here. We bring us here to the church. We thank you that we pray. But thank you that we are standing before you and we lift up our eyes, our hands, and our hearts to you. You are the merciful God, and you are almighty, and we know that you love us before everything. Small things that we are giving to you, only our heart and our mind. You sacrifice yourself on the cross for us and give us the love, and we want to love you, but we ask you to help us to be like you. You created us on your image, and we are corrupted, I know, like due to the sin, but we need your help to come back to your image. We don't want to imitate the world, we want to imitate you only. But again, we need your help, your power, your energy. We're going to stand before you to pray. And we're going to ask you every time to help us in this life. Thank you, God, and thank you that you bring us our mother here to give us this talk and bless her and bless her life and bless everyone standing before you now in the church and who are listening to us. And by the intercession of all the saints and Mary and all archangels, make our word to pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us day our daily bread, forgive our trespasses, as we forgive to those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. In Christ Jesus our Lord, thy kingdom, the power, the glory forever, amen. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, amen. Go in the peace of the Lord with you all, amen. Thank you, everyone. And I know that for St. Mary, you're going to stay for a long time, so you're going to go downstairs if you want, to the basement if you want to stay to do any activities, something like that. Okay, and we have another group, our group, the girls. I think you have something to do. Where's the servant? So please, the girls who are sleep over from yesterday, go to room 125, please. The girls, go to room 125. Thank